G'day and welcome to Perco's Podcast, a podcast all about strategy, leadership and soul care. We're here to help you obtain your personal, professional and spiritual goals without losing your soul. We hope that today's episode is refreshing and gives you a new perspective. Now here's your host, Jason Perkins.
G'day everyone and welcome to episode 7 of Perco's Podcast. I hope you're having an amazing day wherever you find yourself tuning in from. Perhaps you're cooking a meal or driving your car outside, exercising, or maybe you're just sitting around relaxing. I hope this conversation today helps you reach your personal and professional goals no matter what you're doing. But we also hope that not only do you reach your goals, that you do so without losing your soul. That's the goal of this particular podcast that you've tuned into, and we're so glad that you are with us today. If you're a regular listener to our podcast, you may have been wondering, what happened to our weekly episodes over the last week or so? That's a valid question. As a podcast that focuses on soul care, we want to practice rhythms of rest and Sabbath as well. So we took a podcast Sabbath after 6 episodes, and now we are back for another run of 6 episodes. So that's what's happening with the podcast. Just had a little Sabbath, but we are back into another run of 6 episodes, and then we'll take another Sabbath after that. In today's episode, I want to assure you, though, that by the end of our time together, you will have some practical ways to navigate living in the multi-religious culture we all increasingly find ourselves living in, along with some practical ways to overcome critiques, especially as a female communicator and leader. If you're not a female leader, that's fine. I think you'll hear some great advice on how you can empower and equip and encourage leaders of any gender that you are leading. And finally, I think today, by the end of our time together, you will hear some practical advice on how to get yourself into the best physical shape of your life. All of that in less than 30 minutes. It's going to be fantastic. Now, before I introduce you to my guest today, let me tell you about some conversations we have coming up on the podcast very soon. We have a great conversation coming up with a couple of authors, Tisha Hadra, who's a young black woman, and John Hambrick, a 60-year-old white man, who released a book last year entitled Black and White, Disrupting Racism, One Friendship at a Time. We're going to discuss with them how disrupting racism on a personal level is an integral part of soul care for your soul and also the soul of your community. Can't wait for that conversation. We are also going to catch up with my good friend and mentor, Fran LaMattina, to discuss how our personality types can impact our approach to achieving our goals as well as caring for our souls. So don't miss those conversations coming up in the very near future. Speaking about not missing conversations, the best way to not miss anything around here is to sign up for our podcast newsletter. You can do that by simply going to jasonpercoperkins.com and signing up right there on the homepage. That will ensure you don't miss a thing. Don't worry, we will not inundate you with daily emails that distract you from what's most important in your life. We just simply want to let you know about helpful content to help you reach your goals without losing your souls, which happens to be our goal for the podcast. I also want to let you know how much we appreciate hearing from people who enjoy the podcast and find it helpful. In fact, several listeners have reached out to me during the Sabbath wondering when the next episode is going to drop. So thanks for reaching out. We love hearing from you. It's so encouraging to me and our team when we hear from people like you that are being encouraged by these conversations. So be sure to hit us up on social media, Instagram and Facebook. We are at Jason Perco Perkins or on Twitter at Perco's Place. I would love to connect with you online because let's be honest, that's where all of us are hanging out these days especially. So let's be sure to connect. Well, today's guest is Sidhara Udalagama. Sidhara grew up in Sri Lanka, but spent her adult years in England working in full-time ministry after graduating with a Master's of Science in Occupational Psychology. She currently works at the Rocks Church in Perth in Western Australia as the People Development Director and also works as a leadership coach, speaker, and consultant in the corporate and not-for-profit sector. Sidhara is passionate about people fulfilling their God-given potential in this world and becoming all that He created them to be. Her roles in both the corporate and church world enable her to have a platform that is perfectly designed to outwork her passion. She is a powerful and gifted communicator of God's word, and she loves that the Bible has the power to change people's lives. Sadara is married to her husband, Dev, and enjoys eating, traveling the world, and repeating those two things, preferably together. Without any further ado, here is my conversation with my good friend, Sadara. Sid, so great to see you. Thank you so much for jumping on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It's awesome to be connecting. How are you going?
I'm doing great, doing fantastic. How are things in Perth as we are slowly coming out of this lockdown we've experienced?
Yeah, listen, things are going really well here, actually. The sun's out today, so I'm always in a happy mood when the sun's out. Slightly chilly this morning, 6 degrees, so that's the weather report for anyone who cares about what the weather is in Perth. But yeah, things are going back, things are coming back around a little bit, so now restrictions have been eased and people are kind of out and about. It's our first day back at work here as well. So this week, all of WA, they've been encouraged to go back to work in a physical sense in your offices. And cafes and bars and restaurants are opening back up, 20-person limit. Yep. But again, there's signs of life everywhere now, so that's exciting.
That's awesome. We're seeing the same type of thing where I live here in Brisbane. And it's just fun to see places that were very quiet, almost dead, it felt like, coming back to life slowly. So super fun to see that. Yeah. Well, listen, I want to dive into some questions that I have for you that I like to call 60 Seconds with Perko. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a couple of options and you pick one or the other and we'll try to get through these in 1 minute or less. So, is just to help people get to know you a little bit. So which would you prefer, coffee or tea?
Ooh, neither. I don't drink tea or coffee.
You don't drink hot drinks at all?
At all. Hot chocolate.
Okay. Oh, you do hot chocolate. Okay. That's a great option. That's a great option. All right. Apple or PC?
Ooh, Apple.
Apple. Okay. Beaches or mountains?
Beaches.
Okay. Dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Netflix or YouTube?
Oh, hard one, but I'm going to go with Netflix.
Okay. Call or text?
Always text. Okay. Sorry, everyone. Don't call me.
Don't call. Just text her. You'll get a faster response if
100%.
You text. 100%. Podcast or music?
Ooh, music.
Okay.
That's a tough one. Maybe podcast. Ooh, I'm going to have to choose both. Is that allowed? Okay. I don't know. I'm going to go for both.
Both, okay. Cake or pie?
Oh, don't ask me food questions. We'll be here for a long time.
Long time.
Cake, pie, cake, cake.
Okay, cake. What about, what's worse for you, laundry or dishes?
Laundry.
Okay. Hamburger?
I quite like doing the dishes.
Oh, you do like doing the dishes. Yeah. Okay. Well, good for Dev. That's
good for
awesome.
Dev. Problem is Dev also likes doing dishes. No one likes doing the cooking.
Nice. That's awesome. Hamburger or taco?
Hamburger. Oh.
Okay. Passenger or driver?
Never learned to drive, so I guess I have to pick passenger.
Yeah, passenger. You don't drive at all.
Never learned at all.
Interesting. That's great. Yeah. I want to explore more about that. That's an interesting thing. All right. At the movies, lollies or popcorn?
Popcorn.
Okay. And for those in the Northern Hemisphere, that's candy or popcorn. Are you a saver or a spender?
I'd love to be a saver, but I am in fact a spender.
Okay. Is Dev a saver?
He is a saver. Okay, so I guess we balance each other out. So yeah, that's good.
Absolutely. All right. City or countryside?
City.
Yep. Shopping online or shopping in the store?
In a store.
Yeah. I like to go in and see it.
Try it. Yeah.
Okay. Working alone or on a team?
Oh, on a team.
Yeah.
Definitely on a team.
Pen or pencil?
Pen.
Pen, okay. And then paper or tablet?
Paper.
Paper. So you like to grab a pen and a piece of paper and write some things down. That's awesome.
Absolutely. And then I'll probably transfer them onto a tablet. So don't ask me about efficiency on that one. But starting off paper and pen.
Starting paper and pen. I'm the same way. I start paper and pen and then I end up dictating it because I don't like typing too much. So I dictate to my computer and it types it up. So that's awesome. Hey, those are some fun questions to get to know you a little bit. But for those people that have never met you, Sid, I want to get you to introduce yourself in some ways. You live in Perth, which is in Western Australia. For those that are listening, maybe from a place like the United States, it's kind of like the Los Angeles of Australia, basically. It's the West Coast.
I love that. Let's go with that one.
Yeah. A lot of people in Perth would probably say they don't see any resemblance to LA, but it's still the West Coast. But you are not originally from Perth. Your accent actually sounds very British, but you're not from England originally either. You actually grew up in Sri Lanka. Which I grew up watching some of the greatest cricketers of all time coming out of the subcontinent, especially
we
from
like
Sri Lanka.
You. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit of your journey. What took you from Sri Lanka to Perth and all the stops in between? Give us kind of the rundown on who is Sid.
Sure. So, yeah, I was born and raised in Sri Lanka, in the capital, in Colombo. And listen, since you brought up cricket, cricket was a huge part of our childhood. Absolutely. Now,
that's
I can't
so cool.
play cricket to save my life. Like, nobody throw me a ball. I will probably deflect it and not be able to catch it. So there is that. But yeah, like the whole country would come to a standstill when there was a Sri Lanka versus anybody cricket game on. So that was a huge part of it. And so born and raised in Sri Lanka. And then I went to Nottingham in England for university. And so went to study psychology there, which I absolutely loved. Yep. I'm a bit of a nerd, so I like studying. And so I did a master's in occupational psychology after that, also in Nottingham in England. And so I was there for 4 years at that point. And then the plan was that I was going to, you know, move to London and pursue kind of a career in management consultancy. Or at the time, I'd applied to the head office of Rolls-Royce, which was in this town called Derby.
Yeah.
And I kind of got on that interview process and I was super excited. And just as kind of that process was continuing and it was kind of the last year of university, last year of my master's, I just kind of had a sense. I felt like, you know, God had spoken to me that this wasn't what I was going to do with the rest of my life.
And okay.
As you can imagine, after 4 years in university and without a clear direction as to what the next thing was, that was a bit of a shocking moment. And I was like, oh, okay. But I was so convinced by that that I actually kind of withdrew all my applications from all the companies that I'd applied to, including Rolls-Royce. And and then... It's a longer story, but long story short, I ended up doing an internship at the church that I was going to at the time in Nottingham. And it was a year-long unpaid internship. And when I explained that to my dissertation supervisor, who thought, who was like, hey, you know, let's talk about maybe you can extend this and we could do a PhD or you could do academia. And I was like, oh, well, I have this other option.
I have an unpaid internship at a local church. I mean, who wouldn't do that?
Right. Her face was absolutely priceless. I was like, I'm so sorry. I know that you want to react, but you're not reacting the way you want to react.
Yeah.
But I did that internship and literally, probably after the first week, I was like, well, this is what I was made to do. This is everything that I would want to do. Paid or unpaid for the rest of my life, I would do this.
Yeah.
And so I finished that internship and then I started working for that church as well.
Okay.
And I was there for 11 years in total,
wow.
seven of those on staff, until I met Dev, who was, we met at his younger brother's wedding. His younger brother married one of my best friends from Sri Lanka.
Okay.
So we were in the bridal party together and he was living in Australia at the time in Perth. And we kind of met and that was it. And
that's awesome.
Then once we got married, I moved over to Perth and here we are.
That's what you're doing now. So Deb's family is originally from Sri Lanka as well, is that right? So you both grew up in Sri Lanka. Give me kind of high level, how would you describe Sri Lankan culture if you had to describe it in, say, a couple of sentences?
Sure. Warm.
Warm, okay. Yep.
Yeah. Not just in weather, but also in heart and in people. I think Sri Lankan culture revolves a lot around food.
Okay.
So that's a huge part of kind of growing up, and it's a huge part of the culture. So, you know, if we want to show you hospitality, we will feed you. That's one of the first things that they do. Yep. And, you know, people will often, like random people, if you meet someone on the street, they will often invite you in for a meal, like if they strike up a conversation with you. And so that's pretty normal. Just warm, loving, and they love to have fun. Sri Lankan celebrations go on for ages. And everybody just loves to have a good time. It's a very collectivist culture as well. So people look out for each other. And that's part and parcel of how we were brought up as well, culturally, that you'd look out for people. You'd always help people who were less fortunate. You'd look out for people on the margin, on the margins and fringes of society. So it's just all in all, just a warm hug of a country.
That's a great, that is a great description of a culture, a warm hug. That's
warm
a great, that is a great description. So did you grow up, Sid, did you grow up in a home that was religious in any way? Were you family churchgoers or anything like that?
So I actually grew up in a multi-religious household. So my dad is a Buddhist and my mom was a Catholic. So when I grew up, and I guess the culture of Sri Lanka is the fact that it's also multicultural, very multicultural. Yes. So we would have people from a lot of different religions who were part and parcel of our life. And that was just the way we were, it's just what we were exposed to at the time. And in Sri Lanka itself, we would celebrate the important occasions in other religions as national holidays. Okay. So you would have a holiday for Ramadan, and you would have a holiday for Hajj, and you would have a holiday for Thai Pongal, and you would have a holiday for Christmas and for Easter.
Yes.
And so we would kind of take part in all these celebrations of all these different religions and cultures, which was fascinating and really great because we grew up in a way that we were aware of not just what we believed, but what everybody else believed.
Yes.
And we grew up in a culture where that was okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, peace and harmony was just kind of ingrained into the culture. We had a civil war, which was pretty disruptive to that way of life. And we were kind of born into that, which was sad. And so I think a lot of the strife that maybe Sri Lanka's experiencing today came as a result of that division, which kind of in our childhood, among the circles that we grew up in, that the sad thing is that it didn't have to be that way, that, you know, people can coexist and they can live together. And they can live in peace and harmony and celebrate differences rather than being marginalized because of them.
Yeah.
So I think, so that was one of the things, I think, growing up in a house like ours. My dad wasn't a practicing Buddhist, so he would, it was more of a traditional thing, I guess.
Yes.
But my mom was a practicing Catholic, and so she would take us to church. And so I grew up going to church every Sunday. I also went to a convent school. So some of the private schools in Sri Lanka were run by nuns. And so, you know, we would have mass in school. And so it was very, I would do confession every you know, few months. And so it was very religious in that sense. But I think one of the things that really struck home to me was when I moved to England and I was invited to a Christian church. And I guess for me, that was the first time that I realized that I didn't just have to have religion, but I could have relationship.
Yeah.
And that was a really powerful moment for me because I hadn't experienced that before.
Yep.
Even after growing up with so much religiosity around me, I didn't really understand that I could have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
I thought it just had to be confined to religion.
Yeah.
So that was
that's
a pretty
amazing.
Defining moment for me.
Yeah. So would you say that that was when you began kind of a daily relationship with God, Sid, was when you moved to England and had that experience?
100%. Before I moved to England, I hadn't even read the Bible.
Okay.
I studied it.
Yes.
Because we'd had to kind of, GCSEs, religion was a requirement. And so we would kind of study it. But apart from that, I never really read it. I didn't really understand. I always thought that, you know, God was this distant, far off being that we didn't actually have access to.
Yes.
And so I would pray, but I would pray very, I would pray out of fear because I was afraid of retribution if I didn't pray. Like I would fail my exams if I didn't pray.
Yeah.
I'd get hit by a car if I didn't pray. So that was the kind of relationship that I thought that I could have with God. And so then moving to England and hearing, I guess, and maybe being in a place where I was open to hearing that I could know God for myself as well, and people showing me how I could do that.
Yes.
I started reading the Bible and started actually experiencing the presence of God for myself, and that was just life-changing.
Yeah, wow. It's amazing how that sometimes somebody can be so close to something but yet not discover its true meaning until later on in life. Although I sometimes am convinced as well, this is not, by the way, a biblical phrase. I think I stole this from Miyagi-san in Karate Kid.
Great movie.
Yeah, but he said, you know, the teacher will appear when the student is ready. And so sometimes we may not be ready to hear or receive something.
Love that.
Yeah. And the timing is such later on in life that we're now in a place where we're able to hear it and receive it. So
absolutely,
that's fantastic. It's incredible to me, Sid, how much our formative years, childhoods, that sort of thing, shape how we think and shape our worldviews. I know for me growing up in church, my dad has been a pastor my entire life and
right.
long before I was born even. But the tradition of church that I grew up in, women were not a part of the leadership structure of the church. Certainly were not speaker like preachers or communicators in any way, shape, or form. But my mom is actually an incredible leader. And she's a really gifted speaker. She was allowed to speak at women's conferences and things like that. As long as there were no men in the room, that was okay.
Right.
And I used to always think to myself, you know, if my parents had been in maybe a different denomination of church or a different
right.
tradition, my mom would have had a much larger role to play in their leadership. And I feel like, in a sense, the churches that we were a part of missed out in some ways on her
right.
gifts.
Yeah.
So it sounds like to me, though, Sid, you got plugged into a church that was very much aware of women having great gifts of leadership and communication and so on. Have you ever run into any hurdles, though, where you've had to overcome some things as a female in leadership, in faith settings, and how did you overcome those?
Yeah, great question. I think you're right, and you've hit the nail on the head. For me, I was really blessed that from the get-go, I was around people in churches who championed women. And all my bosses, all my line managers, when I was working, they've mostly actually been men, and they've been my greatest support. They've been my greatest encouragers. And presently, even, you know, sitting under Daniel, who's the senior pastor of the church I'm in now, right from the get-go, he's been the one who's been like, no, please speak. Please, can you, you know, I'd like you
yeah.
to do it more. And I'm like, oh, you know, let me see. And so he's been such a huge champion and such a huge, I guess, encourager and supporter of me and having women in leadership and in terms of teaching and preaching as well. So that's been a huge blessing. And actually, you know, hearing stories like the story of your mom, it's something that I don't take for granted, because I know that that's not true for everybody
yeah.
in every place. But there also have been, you know, there have been instances where in a particular church, there were maybe one or two men who, when I came on the preaching roster, refused to come to church because
okay.
they didn't believe in women speakers. So there have, you know, been instances like that. Funny thing is, a few months on, they've become my biggest fans, and I guess
yeah.
I get rapturous emails.
That's awesome.
About sermons, yeah. which is awesome. So I know, I guess they've changed their minds, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And then sometimes if I'm speaking in different venues or in different churches or at different speaking engagements, Dev, my husband, will often go with me. And
yeah.
so Sidara Udalagame is not the most common name in the world.
No.
So if someone doesn't know what I look like, often we've come into spaces and someone on the door would say, oh, hey, great to have you with us. And they would automatically extend their hand to Dev and say, we're so looking forward to hearing you speaking.
And I'm sure Dev is probably mortified, thinking, you don't want me getting up there.
Dev's like, great, give me a microphone. But
yeah.
No, he would say, oh, actually, it's lovely to meet you too, but actually it's my wife who's speaking to you today. So, and that's not happened just once. It's happened multiple times.
Yeah.
And not, you know, not way back when, pretty recently.
Pretty
as
recently,
well.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So I think for me, the key thing is, in those situations, someone asked me once, do you get offended by that? And actually, honestly, I don't. And I think it's because I don't think it's out of malicious intent. I think it's just ignorance.
Yes.
And so for me, Stephen Furtick said this great thing, I think, a while back. He said, offense is a situation, but offended is a decision. And so for me, I can choose to live offended by things. But I think, what will that help? You know, who am I going to change that way? Whose perception am I going to change that way? And so for me, I just focus on being the best version of myself, not as a female, but as a human being.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, well, if given that experience, that gives other people the best chance to change their mind about anything. And so for me, I'm like, cool, well, I believe that God has called me into some spaces and called me into outworking a purpose. And so I'm just going to focus on doing that to the best of my ability in every way I possibly can.
Yeah.
And then that allows, I think, other people a chance to change their mind should they choose to do so.
Yeah. You have mentioned Sid now a couple of times, actually three times. You've mentioned this phrase in this conversation about this question I just asked you. You've mentioned the phrase change their mind. And you talked about some men who refused to go to church when you were the one speaking, who changed their mind. You talked about, even just a moment ago, you used that phrase again. And I think that that is such a key lesson for great leaders to be able to look back and say, it's okay to change your mind.
Right.
Because I may have thought one thing, but was ignorant in the nicest sense of the term.
Yeah.
But I've become more aware of something now, and it's okay to change my mind on things that need to be changed. And so I think that's such a great thing, that none of us are stuck. The past is not, you know, something that has to shape and form our future,
right.
But we can change our minds and move forward with that. So that's fantastic. I was
hanging out
on your Instagram page recently, and I noticed in your profile that you love, you put it this way, I think, faith, family, food, fitness, and fun.
Yeah.
But then I saw that you wrote an article recently about fitness, and in the article you were like, hey, I am the last person on the planet to have ever thought of writing an article on fitness. So I've got a couple of questions for you, because you've gone through a bit of a transformation recently around fitness.
That's right.
You said in the article that you actually had started some fitness kind of things in the past, but they hadn't stuck. And then you mentioned that it was some short-term goals that you set for yourself that had really helped you kind of accomplish some of the things you wanted to do. Give me a little insight into why you think this one was the one that stuck and wasn't like the others. And then what did those short-term goals look like practically that helped you get to some transformation that you wanted?
Yeah. So, you know, I think for me, it's funny that we've talked about kind of changing your mind. It was actually a mindset change.
Okay.
I think it was more of a desire. So it was the fact that I wanted to change before, but I wasn't willing to pay the cost of it. So for me, that means that I didn't want it as much.
Yeah.
So I think before, when I started, I was like, oh, yes, I do want to do this. I want to get fit. I want to get healthy. I want to get in shape. But I can't do this. I won't do this. I'm just not that kind of person.
Yeah.
And I think for me, this time around, I said, nope, this is what I want. And I'm going to do it whatever it takes.
Yeah.
No holds barred. Cool. You want me to run? I'll run. Cool. I have to eat celery? I'll eat celery. Whatever. Whatever it took, that was the kind of mentality. And also, I think this time around, I was more self-aware. So I think being self-aware is really key when you're looking to change anything, not just physically or not just fitness-wise, but, you know, knowing what works and what doesn't work for you, what makes you tick. You know, for me, like you mentioned, short-term goals, I'm a little bit achievement-oriented and goal-oriented. So short-term goals really work for me. So practically, I'd be like, cool, well, by June, I want to do a pull-up. By September, I want to have lost this much. So there would be, you know, short-term goals, and we'd work towards that and aim towards that. So there was a purpose in something. I wasn't just kind of floundering around and seeing what happened.
Yeah.
We were working on purpose towards something with a purpose. And so That was really key. And I think for me, the biggest key in all of it has to be my trainer, who's also one of our best friends. And for me, I need external motivation. So if I kind of just relied on myself, this probably wouldn't have happened. So I know myself, I need some external motivation. And so Rohan has been such a key player in this whole fitness journey and in the transformation itself. And having someone to track that with, someone who knows what they're doing, someone who's going to push you, but not in a way that's going to injure you, but is going to push you in a way that's going to inspire you and is going to want you to achieve more than even you think you can achieve. That's been really great for me. And that's been such a key. And I think the biggest reason why it's actually stuck is that I actually like exercise now.
Okay.
I said it out loud.
Well, this conversation with Sid is jam-packed with so many helpful topics and insights, from lessons about Sri Lankan culture. I just love how she described that as a warm hug, living in harmony with people of varying religious backgrounds and beliefs, and some practical stuff on how to set short-term goals when achieving your fitness goals, and finally, some great things for leaders on how to champion others. Wow, so much great stuff to learn in this conversation. So much, in fact, that we decided to break this conversation up into two separate episodes. In the next episode, Sid dives into some practical ways she has discovered to help other leaders around her develop their leadership, and she gets into how she prepares, delivers, and evaluates her talks and messages. As always, we dive into some of the rhythms and practices of how she keeps her soul healthy as a leader. Part two is going to be well worth your time, so stay tuned for that. Well, I'd love to hear what practices and rhythms you are finding helpful right now in feeding your soul. That's what this podcast is all about. We want to help people reach their goals without losing their soul. A wise man once said, "What benefit is it if you gain the whole world and yet lose your soul? Is there anything worth more than your soul?" That's a great question for us to think about. Well, we love hearing from people who listen to this podcast, so be sure to connect with us online. Our website and social media handles are Jason Perko Perkins, or send me a good old-fashioned email. My email address is hello@jasonperkoperkins.com. Also, if you're finding this podcast helpful, we would love it if you would share it with others who would find these conversations helpful as well. Another great way to get the word out is to leave us a rating or a review on your preferred podcast platform. All of those things help us to get these great conversations to as many people as possible. Our dream is to see a generation of leaders reach their goals and at the same time hear them say, "It is well with my soul." Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this conversation. I look forward to connecting with you online this week and sharing part two of this conversation with Siddhara with you next week. We'll talk to you then. Cheers.
You've been listening to Perko's podcast. Join us next time for more insights on strategy, leadership, and soul care to help you reach your personal, professional, and spiritual goals while at the same time not losing your soul. In the meantime, make sure to connect with us on social media. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.